Marvel Comics Star Wars series, issue 20, Death Game.
Captain Solo is doomed, R2, and there's no way we can help him.
As 3PO and R2 are watching helplessly on a computer or a TV monitor, as Han Solo's lying on a rocky bed about to be stabbed by a big red creature who has four arms, and each of those arms have a big stabby stick. I am Joshua Lappin-Martoni, and this is Marvel Comics Star Wars. We are going to be looking at issue 20, which is part 3 of The Empire Strikes, aka The Wheel Arc. I was originally going to do this all in a week. That was about 2 weeks ago. I did post something on the blog and on Facebook, but if you just listen to the podcast, then you don't know what happened. What happened is two things. One, work got busy, I went on a trip, and my laptop eventually crashed. I do have a desktop that I've recorded some of these on, but while I'm working a lot and while I'm on the go a lot, it's easier to do this on my laptop. So without the laptop, the convenience of doing this kind of subsided. I got my laptop back a few hours ago, so I'm doing this right now. The last two covers of this arc were pretty awesome, but I have to admit, the cover that I just did, issue 20, with just R2 and 3PO looking at Han's doom, doesn't really impress me as much. It's not a bad cover per se, but the last few were classic. Our usual gang is back! Archie Goodwin's writing, Carmen Infantino and Bob Wycheck are doing the art. I've said a lot about them. There's really not much I can say about this creative team and my expectations of them without repeating myself. But hey, speaking of repeating myself, if you want to see the pictures that I'm referring to, check out the blog at StarWarsMarvel.com. And our first picture is an X-Wing, which doesn't really look like an X-Wing. The only thing that makes it look like an X-Wing is it has a nose and it has those four laser things. Whatever. The X-Wing fighter seems to appear from nowhere, suddenly, violently, hammering energy bolts into a Rolian pleasure yacht. Just departed from the monument to the galaxy's lust for gambling, the Wheel, artificial satellite that's home to the city of casinos. Well, there's your exposition about the Wheel. There is nothing chance or random in this Rebelcraft's appearance. It is a carefully calculated move in a vast and deadly scheme. When two true freaks, Scott Gardner and Chris Honeywell, did their Star Wars Monthly Mondays and they talk about these issues, they do try and remind us that there wasn't DVDs around back then, there wasn't home videos, so no one had seen the movie 900 times the way that we had, so they kind of cut the artists a little slack. But I do have to think that Carmine Infantino must have had some reference to work off of when drawing an X-Wing. Come on! Not even movie stills that were in all the magazines of the X-Wings? Not even the old issues drawn by Howard Chaykin? Really? You had no visual reference for an X-Wing? Well, gamblers aboard the Wheel are shocked that the Rebels are attacking them, and the nearby Imperial cruiser launches some TIE Advanceds. See my rant from the last podcast and blog to know how I feel about this widespread use of TIE Advanceds. And they destroy the X-Wing. They make quick work of it. Are you confused about what's going on? Well, luckily, here's Leia Organa. She's having dinner with Senator Greyshade, and she's about to give you some exposition. She's at the table, and she swats away her plate and her silverware. Greyshade, you're even more despicable than I thought you were during our days in the Imperial Senate. Again, she makes lots of references to how bad he was in the Imperial Senate. What did he do that was so vile and disgusting in the Senate? I had my faults, but I never wasted a fine meal as you're doing. Well, Leia does more than waste the meal now. She kicks over the whole table. You've never wasted any opportunity to enrich yourself at the expense of others. As Wheel Administrator, I thought you'd fight the Empire's scheme, the fake rebel attack, so that they'd be justified in taking over the place and all the wealth it brings in. But that ugly charade we've just witnessed proves you're going along with them. Great exposition there, Leia. Actually, that is a good way to get the exposition out of the way. I know it sounds sarcastic. Greyshade has Master Calm, his little robot friend with feelings, bring Leia back to her cell/room. Because remember, not only is Leia, she's kind of potential girlfriend/prisoner in this scheme. I mean, he's keeping her around locked up, but, you know, not too locked up because he thinks he can get busy with her. During her little tantrum, that was actually all just a charade in and of itself so that she can take a dinner knife. Smart girl, she took away a little dinner knife with her to her cell during that little outburst. And this is why I like Archie Goodwin writing Leia, because he remembers that not only is Leia, you know, the little damsel in distress sometimes, this is the girl who was an Imperial Senator as a teenager and a leader of the Rebel Alliance. Greyshade boards the docked Imperial cruiser and he discusses things with Commander Strom. And they talk about how they each have a stalemate with each other. Our mutual survival depends on each other's silence, Greyshade. It's the perfect basis for trust. The perfect basis for trust? No, not at all. That is a bad basis for trust. I mean, they do get some exposition out of the way by talking about their basis for trust. That, like, for example, if Strom's superiors find out that Greyshade knows their scheme, he'll be dead. And Greyshade could be in trouble for harboring a rebel leader and trying to make her his wife. But Greyshade has his issues with the plan. He says, I don't trust the way you're carrying out this Imperial scheme, Strom. You're rushing things. That attack was clumsy and obvious. Clumsy and obvious. Could it have anything to do with the fact that the X-Wing did not look anything like an X-Wing? Maybe that's the incontinuity explanation for why it doesn't look like an X-Wing, because they're doing bad. Strom continues to chide Greyshade, though, for attempting to romance Leia, which strikes a nerve with him, and berates him for keeping the other's rebels alive. Well, Greyshade shows the readers and Strom what the status of the others are, and it's a four-panel page. The first panel is Strom and Greyshade talking about it, but we have in one panel Luke. One of Princess Leia's friends is here, on the Wheel Hospital, apparently in some strange state of shock. I don't know how he got in this condition, but I've made arrangements that his treatment will assure he doesn't recover. And we see Luke, strapped down, with Star Wars Red Cross nurse. Yes, she's back. I love this woman. She's looking over him. Star Wars Red Cross nurse has to be my favorite character in this series, actually. Which leaves the other two from the Millennium Falcon, who, from the way they resisted and evaded your stormtroopers, are obviously quite dangerous. We see a panel of Chewie, who looks more like Bigfoot. We actually see Chewie's toes in this panel. He's kind of training for the big game. Well, let's let Strom explain it. Chewbacca, the giant Wookiee, and Captain Solo, Carillion smuggler. Unfortunately for them, as you can see, they're both enlisted as gladiators in the big game. The Wookiee by mischance, the Carillion through my manipulations. In any event, don't bet on either of them, Commander. It's kind of an old Jack Kirby-esque, you know, deathmatch that they're both fighting to train for the big game. And the four panels, well, of course only three of them have the Rebels, and the way that they're arranged, it reminds me of the old Fantastic Four issues where Doctor Doom would lock each of the four in a different room that would subdue their powers in a different way, and they'd have these challenges. Greyshade also explains that the droids, which were pawned by Han last issue, are awaiting memory wipe, and after the memory wipe, they're going to be melted down. Wait, what?! Why are you wiping their memory if you're just going to melt them down? Isn't that a waste of time? That's like giving somebody a lobotomy before giving them the electric chair. What's the point? Han is beginning his first fight in the quote-unquote big game. His test results during his training were purposely skewed so he would be fighting way out of his class. Han is fighting a much larger alien, which is that four-armed red guy that we saw on the cover with the poisonous spikes. And it's not going well. Greyshade, Strom, and the rest of the Wheel's population are watching the fight eagerly. I mean, a lot of them are stopping their gambling to watch this thing. It's like the Super Bowl for them. I don't know. The droids are about to have their memory wiped when somebody intervenes, and it's Master Calm. The droids are the odd subjects of a study I'm conducting. They must come with me.
I don't like machines pulling rank, but since you're the Wheel's master computer, or at least Senator Greyshade's walking around personal version of it, I guess I don't have much choice. Thank you, little Wheel Guard, for giving us exposition on who Master Calm is.
I don't know about any studies, but R2 and I certainly thank you from the bottom of our capacitator systems. The study is my own 3PO unit, and I'm conducting it on a very dubious authority. Your initiative on behalf of your young master from the time you arrived on the Wheel has been fascinating. I requested permission from the Senator to observe you, and while he did not specifically grant it, he did not specifically deny it either. Purist logic.
No, that's not really purist logic, but for crying out loud.
Oh, this is so deep. Master Calm sees that the droids love their master, and it makes him want to study them because he wants to have feelings too. robots have feelings, and I'm sure back in 1978 there was some 8-year-old who thought that this was deep, philosophical, award-winning comic literature. The droids all go to check on Luke, and Star Wars Red Cross nurse is surprised to see that he's gone. You can see that his restraints have been broken and that his exit was quite forced, and Star Wars Red Cross nurse even admits that she was drugging him, and 3PO doesn't have any reaction to this news at all. Huh. Well, Master Comm detects Leia using her serving knife to short-circuit a locked door as she escapes, so Comm tells the droids that he can't help them any longer and joins his master.
No, R2. I don't know what to make of him either, but we may have gained a friend.
And shortly, the crowded casino area, there are two more droids.
We're safe, R2, but that doesn't help poor Master Luke and the Princess. If only we could find Captain Solo or... It's him, R2! He's doomed, and there's nothing we can do!
Which shows us the scene from the cover of them looking at Khan on the computer screen. But it's funny because R2, in that one panel, he's drawn really weirdly. Now, Infantino's is starting to get R2's shape more right. He still has some problems with 3PO's head. But you know how in the Wile E. Coyote cartoons where he's running and he sees the cliff and he stops so he doesn't run off of the cliff. And his feet stay on the ground, but his body is still trying to stop. So, like, his stomach will go forward while his feet remain in motion. That's what R2 looks like here. And it's really weird. Like, if he was really looking like that, he would probably tip over. So Han's about to get the killing blow from this gladiator. But he's a movie character. We know he's safe. But Han is not aware that he's a movie or comic book character, so he's not so sure about his safety. So this alien is about to stab him as he's lying down on the ground, awaiting his stabbing. Han sees a rock, uses it to block himself, and it makes the alien kind of trip and stab himself with the venom. Strom is not happy about this.
Screeshade, you smooth-mouthed grumbler! What's went wrong?
I'm not certain, Strom, but bear in mind, that was only a preliminary match. Solo must still endure the main event! And so ends our issue, with Han surviving, but he still has the rest of the great game to complete, and I think we know who he's going to wind up having the fight to the death, because, hey, you saw who else was training this issue. Now it's time to get to a letter page, and usually I don't read all of these letters verbatim start to finish, but this was an interesting letter. Roy Thomas, the original writer of this series, wrote in. Dear Archie, unaccustomed as I am to writing fan letters, I haven't written one to Marvel Mag since I joined the bullpen more than 13 years ago as a staff writer, assistant editor, and gopher. I had to break the silence of a baker's dozen of years to comment on the truly fine work you and your artistic compers are doing on Star Wars since Howard Chaykin and I left. When a writer, or artist, or writer-editor, or whatever, quits a particular magazine for whatever reason, he usually looks back in not inconsiderable horror at what others do to it later. At least I know this has been true with me on a number of occasions. And it was probably true of Stan Lee when he gave me the Hulk or you the Fantastic Four for a few issues, or Gary Conway's Spider-Man. Sometimes I find that the best remedy for such feelings is simply not to read that comic book for a while, to give my own links with the mag a chance to dissolve of their own accord. Not so with Star Wars, however. I was curious to see what you and Carmine Infantino, long a favorite artist of mine, would do. I was even more pleasantly surprised than I thought I'd be. Not only has the Infantino-Austin art and the Simonson-Wycheck art in issue 16 been fabulous, and probably just what the mag needed, but instead of simply ignoring or overturning the developments Howie and I added in our necessarily interim issues 7 through 10, you added them to your own intriguing plot lines, such as the Water World, to come up with a series of issues after my own heart, and doubtless those of many others as well. First off, it was great to see Crimson Jack and Jolly appear again. I am a bit sorry you killed CJ off, but that's showbiz. At any rate, you built on what Howie and I established in issue 7 without demolishing any of it and turned it into a fine story. Naturally, since Jax, the Rocket Rabbit, was an even more beloved creation of mine, and since Amaza was and is a great foil for him, I'm even happier with number 16's story, admittedly a filler to keep the droids and Wookiee at bay for an issue or two while you get your bearings. Jax was developed almost exactly the way I wanted to see him turn out, complete with baddies with the names of Fudd and Daffy that even I, the most cornball of space opera scripters, would not have dared attempt, but you did, and you pulled it off. For some reason, I've always had an affinity for green things, as long as they were in comic books, not in a garden. The Incredible Hulk, The Impossible Man, and now Jax. My only request is that if there's ever going to be a series of Jax stories you don't write yourself, I get a crack at it. I was really quite fond of the fellow, and I'm even fonder of what you've done with him. All this, and now you've joined me in the series of those few people who spell Wookiee the way George Lucas always did, which a letter writer complained to Roy Thomas about. He said, you spell Wookiee the wrong way, and Roy Thomas says, we spell it the way that George Lucas does. The mind boggles. Keep on trekking, or warring, or whatever. Roy Thomas, and he signs his address, Marvel's actual address. I do wonder if the I wouldn't have dared do Daffy and Fudd line was a subtle dig at how corny it was, because boy, was it corny. I find it funny how he requests doing a Jackson series, particularly because there's those rumors that George Lucas requested Jackson removed, and I still am not sure how valid those rumors are, but good luck. And next issue, as Han faces that challenge, Luke comes under the shadow of a Dark Lord. And yes, that means that Darth Vader is returning. He hasn't been seen since issue 6, since the Death Star exploded. Well, he's back. And we're going to be back too, so make sure you stick around for that.